As was expressed, we had a great week at youth camp, and we had five that were immersed into Christ, and two of them were from Harlan here, and one of them is with us here this morning. So we've got a baptismal certificate here for James Little. So it was an exciting week. If you want to share and learn more about that, come back tonight at 6:30 if you're able, and we will do some sharing with you of some of the things that happened at camp. Also, for our WCCH family, this is kind of an exciting day for them. Hal and Carol and I believe the Ark House are up in Niles, Michigan, speaking up there at a youth camp. Joe Hines and Dylan actually are over in Millwood, Ohio, at where Dave Jones is the preacher, and they are doing a presentation there. And Jason and Heather and their family are at the Southwest Church of Christ in Fort Wayne. So this is the first time in their history that they've had three different speakers in three different states on the same day. And so just kind of an exciting thing to share with that. And we're praying that those things all go well as well. And so we are going to be sharing this morning. And again, the song service, I think, just went so well with the thought that we're going to be trying to express here this morning of peace, and not peace as the world describes peace, but peace as Jesus Christ shares it with us. The Society of National Law, that is based in London, England, has done a research study over the last 4,000 years, and they have indicated from their studies, as far as world peace goes, that in the last 4,000 years, there has been 268 years of peace over the last 4,000. And that's obviously not counting just, brother and sister sibling rivalries, right? They don't count those. But so in the last 300 years, just under 300 years, just in the last 300 years, there have been just under 300 wars on the continent of Europe alone. So when we talk about peace, this is something that the world doesn't understand. And we as Christians know where we find our peace, same place we find our identity. We find that in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says that my peace I leave with you, and we'll be talking about this in a moment. But as he says that I will leave with you, what he's talking about is that peace of having the Holy Spirit in your life to guide you and direct you. And we know, as was shared by five at camp this past week, how they receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. It's by being immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that brings about us, as 1 Peter 3:21 says, that we then get a clear conscience towards God. The reason we do not have peace in our hearts, in our minds, in our daily lives, in our thing, is because we are at struggle with something. And so in our life, when we come to terms, when we come to the terms that the Lord has set out for us in Scripture, we can then ultimately come to a peace, as Paul says, a peace that passes all understanding. That the world won't understand it because they don't get it. They don't get it because they haven't obeyed the gospel call. John chapter 14 and verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And so as we look at that and we think of that, is there anything in our lives that we struggle with as far as fear? Three main items that we are going to discuss today, and I know on the initial outset, when you hear the three things we're going to be talking about, you're going to be, oh, great, that sounds like an encouraging sermon, right? Anxiety, stress, and depression, right? And if you don't struggle with one of those, look to your right or look to your left, because then there's probably someone else that does. And if you don't now, you will. Or you already have. But what the Lord is telling us is that we can find our ultimate peace in Him. We look to, and the world especially looks to so many different things to offer true peace. Of course, back in the 60s, you know, it was always, you know, make love, not war, have, you know, peace and everything else. But that peace, unless it's found in Jesus Christ, it may settle things for a little bit, but it's not going to settle your soul. And so Jesus says that he wants to give us that which will settle our soul. I rest beneath the Almighty's shade. My griefs expire and my troubles cease. Thou, Lord, on whom my soul is stayed, will keep me still in your perfect peace. It's in His perfect peace that the rest of the world will just melt away. If not during our lifetime, at some time it will. That's what Scripture tells us is going to happen. And what we're going to be left with is either eternal torment, and we pray that that is not our destiny, but that we choose to live our life in eternity, in heaven, with eternal peace with Jesus Christ. So the first thing we want to look at this morning is that of anxiety. I've got some stats up here for anxiety. An average person's anxiety is focused on these five things and broken down here into the percentages, perhaps. Now, it says the average person, and so we know that all you guys here are above average, so it's probably a little different for you. But so the average person's anxiety is 40% things that will never happen. We worry. Oh, we're Christians. We know better than that. We don't worry. We're concerned. Right? We're concerned. This really concerns me. Right? In other words, you're worried about it. Okay? And 40% of those things never happen. Never happen. Now, I like to think that maybe the reason those things don't happen is because we as Christians pray to the Lord and ask for Him to intervene. So many times as we set out on a travel or a destination, we'll pray for safety. And then when we get there, we say, well, it was an uneventful trip. Praise the Lord for that. And so we were concerned about something that never happened. But I do think that perhaps the Lord, you know, we pray for that hedge of protection. And so maybe sometimes that's an underrated thing. Maybe we should pray for more things not to happen, right? 30% things about the past that cannot be changed. Just about one out of every three thoughts that we have is about something that happened yesterday or farther back than that, and you can't change it. But here's what you have to remember, is what has happened in your past has made you and brought you to the point where you are today. Maybe it was that terrible past that made you believe in Jesus Christ. Maybe it was that terrible thing that happened, that event in your life that said, made you realize, I can't trust certain people, but I can trust Jesus. And we can go on with that. And so just about one out of three of those things are things that have happened to us in the past that we cannot change. And so they're in the past. Leave them there. Don't keep bringing them up. Right? I have noticed that sometimes that's one of those things, and I don't have Facebook, but I've been told that Facebook will bring back, you know, memories, you know, like pictures from a year ago or something. And sometimes, you know, there's things in your life you don't want to remember. There's some things that you're not going to be able to change. And so let's focus on today. Don't let today ruin your tomorrow. And don't let your past dictate your today. 12% things about criticism by others. And most of the times it's untrue. Now, there is something to say about criticism. When we are criticized, I do believe we need to at least take it in and weigh that out, see if it's true or not. But as we said, most of the time the criticism's untrue. And so it's like, so they said that, so? All they're doing is speaking out of their ignorance. And so as we look at this, and yet we get all amped up about that. We get all worked up about that, right? 10% is about health, which gets worse by the more anxiety and stress we put on our life. So as we're thinking about that, if you think about that, now it went from 10% to 11, just since you've been sitting here, right? Now it's up to 12 already. Right? And so we do worry about, now we should be concerned about our health. Notice I said concerned. Right? And so as we talk about that and see those things, but you know, there was a point in my life where I'd take the opposite to that. If I don't go to the doctor, then they can't say I'm sick. Right? Amen? But then we find out that's not necessarily true either. So we gotta understand that. And then 8% about real problems that will be faced. 8%. That means out of 100 things that you're thinking about right now, going through your head, only 8 of them are things that you're actually going to have to deal with. And that may be, did I turn the oven on before we left? If not, we might have to wait another hour for dinner, right? Those are things that we might actually have to deal with. And some of them, don't think that I'm naive or ignorant, but some of them are deeper than that too. The actual issues that we are going to have to face, and you know what that's called? Life. Okay? And what the Lord wants for us to do then is go to Him, help for the help and the strength that we need. Go to Him, that peace, guidance from the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, those things where we find that peace. You know, in our times of anxiety, and sometimes we'll say, well, if I can just get this out of my life. Safety is not the absence of danger or trouble. Okay? Understand this. Safety is not the... We say, well, if I don't have to go through this, then I'll be good. Pray that I don't have to go through this. No, safety is not the absence of danger or trouble. Safety is being in the true presence of God. Because as I know Coop shared with us, others have shared, He's not promised to take us around our problems, but the Lord says he'll be with us to go through those problems with us. To go through those problems with us. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8, and as we tie this into anxiety, Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." And in some translations that might read, "Do not be discouraged." Do we face discouragement? Yeah, we get discouraged and then we start to worry. Right? But what does Scripture tell us? And this isn't the only passage. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed if your heart is troubled. Believe in me. Trust in me, Jesus says, John 14. And so as we think here at this anxiety, look at the peace that Jesus Christ wants to offer. You look at some of the healings that Jesus did in the Scripture, in the Gospels there. People that were had some very hardcore physical disabilities, that there was a struggle for this life. Maybe, as we see in some of them, their entire life. But he says, "I want to give you peace. Again, that peace that surpasses our human understanding. A peace that only can come through him." Found someone made this statement that says, "Anxiety is the end of faith, is the beginning of the end of faith." And think about that. That's why the Lord tells us not to worry, not to have anxiety over these things. Anxiety does away with our faith. But when we rely on our faith in Jesus Christ, that is the beginning of the end of anxiety. And he said that there is a channel that anxiety cuts through our mind. Like a thin little stream that brings fear. It goes trickling through our mind that cuts a channel that our thoughts are drained through. And when we think of that, I just think of a little stream. And so a little trickle at first. But the more we let that get out of control, the bigger it's going to affect and change things. And isn't that the way anxiety is in our life? We say, it's just a little thing. It's not a big problem yet. But it can be. That's why we need to get rid of that. Then we'll talk about stress for just a moment. Stress. Anyone here have stress? Right? Come back tonight and share stories of making sure that 130 kids are all doing and being where they should be. That's a little stressful, right? But we all have stress in our life, right? There ends up being too much month at the end of the paycheck, right? You're like, "Oh, if we'd only have a 20-day month, my paycheck would be just great." Right? But we end up having more month than we do paycheck. And we stress out about that. Stress and anxiety is much the same, but there can be other factors in stress. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus says this, "These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace." In this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. You're going to have things that come up against you. You're going to have bad days. Right? Don't buy the health and wealth gospel idea that becoming a Christian, everything's going to be peachy keen and your bank account's going to be full. That's not what Jesus teaches. Jesus says that in the world you're going to have tribulation. But here's what we need to do. Take courage. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed, because I have overcome the world. And he says that even before he went to the cross and died for our sins. How did he do that? Because him and the Father are one. It's kind of what George was talking about at the communion meditation this morning. So when we talk about stress, it gets to us. It wears us down. But that's when we continue to hold on to it. Sometimes we need to face this head on. Now, I'll say this, and I don't want us to think there are times that in scriptures, for example, when they were going out by twos and they were trying to cast out demons and were unable to do that, and Jesus says this kind of thing can only be done by prayer and fasting, that there are times in our life that our times of prayer and fasting will help to relieve our stress. However, the Lord has also given those around us in the medical field, those that have the knowledge and the understanding of how to help make that happen, to help it so that we can help to cope with that stress and until we get those things under control. But do not consider yourself to be less of a Christian because you have anxiety or stress or depression. Do not consider yourself to be less of a person if you have anxiety, stress. If not, the Lord wouldn't talk about these things throughout the Scripture. What he's saying is, you're going to have these things when your mindset is in the world. But if you get it off of yourself and on to me, I can help alleviate those things. He wants to heal. He wants to relieve those burdens that we are carrying. He says that his yoke is easy. Why is that? I mean, have you seen a yoke? I mean, there's work to be done when there's a yoke. But he's going to do most of the pulling. He's going to do most of the lifting. Our important thing to do is to be fastened to him. I do also want to share this. We had right towards the end of school, I don't even know who placed it in the office or anything of that nature, but I wrote this down immediately, added it to my notes so that I made sure that when I preached this sermon this morning that we would have this, and somebody had brought in some nice treats for us there towards the end, and they left a little note on the counter, and it said this, "Remember, stress spelled backwards is desserts." Now, if that don't get an amen, right? Sometimes you just need that, whatever it may be, right? But as we think of that, and so you've got your stress, but don't forget that Jesus is that ultimate stress reliever. We've got those stress balls, things you can do, count to 10, you know, I've counted to 10 before and then realized, you know, you might as well just count to 100, calm down, get, you know, stress is a real thing. We worry, we get stressed out about work. We get stressed out about, you know, maybe going back to work. I was watching Maine Cabin Masters last night, one of my favorite shows I like to watch, and they were redoing a cabin that had a sign on it, "Don't let your Monday ruin your Sunday." In other words, what you have to deal with tomorrow at work, leave it there, it'll be there. And it's what Jesus is saying. Hey, don't worry, tomorrow's got enough stress of its own. But I like that because we come together on the Lord's Day. Don't let your Monday, don't let what you're thinking of, at the time of communion as we're meeting around the Lord's table, then talking with the boss on the morning ought to be the last thing on your mind. Don't let your Monday ruin your Sunday. And I found that a nice piece of DeBrand's chocolate always helps to relieve the stress too. All right? George don't like DeBrand's. He'd rather just have Hershey's. Yeah, right? All right. Anyway, so as we talk about anxiety, we talk about stress, we talk about depression. Do you remember the days in which we used to read the papers? And then you'd also go to the columns where you would find the great those that would impact your life with deep theology answers, you know, the comic section. Charlie Brown made the statement. From the Peanuts thing, made the statement that there is no problem too big that I can't run away from. No need to get upset and depressed about it because just turn the other, go the other way. But as we think of this idea of depression, it's a big thing today and a real thing. But I think, as we said in scriptures, we can find many followers of that were God's people that struggled with depression. Elijah, David, just some of the biggies for reference point, but struggled with depression. So to say that it's because of the world we live in today, it's because of your lack of faith in God, I think both those are hooey. It is that thing, again, I call life. Now, the Lord wants to help us relieve those things. He wants to give us His peace. This idea of depression and struggling with that, David shares in the Psalms. Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. That's hard to do, especially when you're feeling depressed, when you're feeling the oppression of the world or the oppression of the struggle in your heart at that time. But he says, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. That's what we need to understand, is the Lord is there to listen. Remember, we looked at that last week about the ultimate Father, and one of the things He does is He is there to listen. He wants to hear us cry out to Him. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction. The days that you feel like you're at your wit's end, that you just can't go on, that this is it, it's over. You are in the deepest, darkest destruction part of your life, and you're thinking, but David says He's there. And He pulled me out of the miry clay. In other words, it's not just like, oh, just give you a hand and lift you out. You got to work at it. You got to work at it. It's not going to come easy. And those of us that struggle with this idea and this thought of depression, you know you have to get up. And this is one of those things where Don Cooper talks about that. You have to get up every day, find your identity in Jesus Christ, and you have to say that I am, we get to the point of thinking that we're no good. The world tells us that we stink and that we're lousy, but we are good enough that Jesus Christ died for us, that God the Father in heaven sent His Son to die for us. And God doesn't send His Son to die for trash. He brings us out of the pit. He brings us out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. This may be taken in a little out of context, but I believe that as we're told that rock that followed them in the wilderness, as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that we see that that rock is Christ, and I think we can make the assumption here that, we need to build our firm foundation on Jesus Christ. When we feel that the world is getting us down, do we not feel that Jesus had times and moments of being depressed? Didn't go into cities because they didn't believe who he was and what he could do? When he's like, I've got your answers to your problems. And they say no. And the unfortunate thing is, and why we have these things being elevated, anxiety, stress, depression, is because Jesus Christ wants to help with those things, and we live in a world where they don't want Jesus Christ. And so we've got something that others do not have, the peace that he brings us. He wants to set us on those firm foundation. He wants to set our feet on the rock. He wants to set us on that solid path. Just as he cleared through the Red Sea, it says that they walked across on dry ground. I believe it was dry, solid ground. It wasn't muddy. It wasn't mucky. It was dry ground. I believe that because that's what the Bible says. The Lord wants to take you out of the pit of destruction, the miry clay, and he wants to set us on a firm foundation. Not walk through the muck and the yuckiness of the world, but walk with Jesus so that he can give you his peace. Now, as we talk about anxiety and stress and depression and we put all these things together, we bring it to a close, let's focus back on the peace for a moment. Peace that I have, I want to give to you. We know the gift that he's given us is the Holy Spirit, peace, as we looked at the beginning, obedience to the gospel, being immersed, rise to walk in a new life. So we've got to bring it back to peace. Do you have peace in your life? There's some that think they do for a short time, and then something strong, you know, and then, but the Lord will be there constantly. We just got to continue to lean on him. In 1555, a man by the name of Nicholas Ridley was an elder in a church 500 years ago. He was going to be put to death. They saw him as a heretic. He was wanting to teach the Bible. They were going to burn him at the stake. Of course, they do that, you know, alive. You're alive while you're there, and then they light you on fire. And so he was condemned to die. And his brother had come and asked him if he could stay the night in the prison cell with him before he passed or was put to death, was executed for his beliefs. And so his brother comes and says, I've sought out permission to be able to do this, and I'm going to be able to stay the night with you. Nicholas said, no, that's all right. I'm going to go and have my Bible reading time. I'm going to say my prayers like I usually do, and I'm going to sleep like I've never slept before, because it's not about what happens in this world. It's about who we're serving while we're in this world. And so that night, Nicholas Ridley went to sleep, slept as peaceful as can be, and arose to wake up the next morning to be put to the stake and burned to death for his faith. But I ask you this morning as we get ready to close, do you have that peace? That you can just go ahead and go to sleep and know that your time is over. But you know what? It's not about this earth. It's about living with him in heaven for all eternity. He knew that belief began in his obedience and following out what we're asked to do. To believe in Jesus Christ, to believe that he is the Son of God. That's why when we ask for the great confession to be made, that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But it doesn't stop there. In none of those circumstances does belief only save you. And those, we think of Acts 16, and the Philippian jailer believed. Well, what did he do after he believed? He continued down that road. He repented of his sin, confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, and was, says in scriptures, that he and his entire household were immersed into Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this, our belief in Jesus, the repentance of sin, the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord, to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sin, and he gives us that peace. And because we have a peace that surpasses all understanding, then we can live faithfully for Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, I pray, I urgently plead with you now to be obedient to what the Scripture says. That we give up some of those struggles of the world that we talked about today, that are very much struggles that Christians have. I'm not saying we're wrong for having those. I'm saying we're wrong for keeping them. Let's go to Jesus for the peace that he has to offer. A peace that, in actuality, we may never, ever, ever find outside of this life, until we're outside of this life. But that doesn't mean he's not with us. That doesn't mean he's not trying to help us. Think how bad things could be if Christ wasn't on our side. But if he is for us, then who can be against us? For he has overcome the world. Will you stand as they share a song of invitation with us this morning?